This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Centre in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Kush roll, glass full, I prefer the better things. Niggas with no money act like money isn't everything. I'm having a good time, they just trying to ruin it. Shout out to the fact that I'm the youngest nigga doing it. Cap on, brim, bend, dance, sell air time. She ain't trying to pop that shit for pimp, okay, well, never mind. I tried to told you Drizzy still ain't nothing nice. Bracelet saying you should quit, cars saying fuck your life. Okay, now we out of here, toodles to you bitches. And if you dolled up, I got the voodoo for you bitches. Yeah, I'm busy getting rich, I don't want trouble. I made enough for two niggas, boy, stunt double. Famous like a drug that I've taken too much of. But I never ever trip, just peace, happiness, and love. I got money in these jeans, so they fit me kinda snug. Plus the game is in my pocket, nigga, this is what I do. I'm about whatever, man. Fuck what they be talking about. Their opinion doesn't count. We the only thing that matters. Oh, so we do it how we do it. All up in your face, man. I hate to put you through it. I be up all night, whole crew's in here. Cause I don't really know who I'ma lose this year. Oh, man, I love my team. Man, I love my team. I would die for them niggas. Oh.
Kidder. I got that kind of money, make a broke bitch bitter. I got that kind of, wait, fixate. Which bitch you know made a million off a mixtape? That was just a keepsake. Bought the president, the Louis presidential briefcase. Never been a cheapskate. We got the Hawks, I ain't talking about the peach state. Man, for Pete's sake, scratch that sweepstakes. Fuck I look like, ho? I look like yes, and you look like no. I ain't never been a mixed breed on a diet, but I'm doing donuts in a six speed. M6 in front of M2. I see a lot of rap bitches on the menu, but I collect 100,000 at the venue and pop bottles with my team. Young money till the death
I'm
of me.
I'm about whatever, man. Fuck what they be talking about. Their opinion doesn't count. We the only thing that matters. Oh, so we do it how we do it. All up in your face, man. I hate to put you. I be up all night, whole crew's in here. Cause I don't really know who I'ma lose this year. Oh, man, I love my team, man, I love my team. I would die for them niggas, oh.
I mean, we can't even rock them shoes if it don't got a comma on the price tag, you know. I mean, but then again, who looks at the price tag, you know.
Oh, yeah, we in this bitch, I'm about whatever, man. Fuck what they be talking about. Their opinion doesn't count. We the only thing that matters. Oh, so we do it how we do it. All up in your face, man. I hate to put you through it. I be up all night, whole crew's in here. Cause I don't really know who I'ma lose this year. Oh, man, I love my team. Man, I love my team. I would die for them. I'm about whatever, man. Fuck what they be talking about. Their opinion doesn't count. We the only thing that matters. Oh, so we do it how we do it. All up in your face, man. I hate to put you through it. I be up all night, whole crew's in here. Cause I don't really know who I'ma lose this year. Oh, man, I love my team. Man, I
die for them niggas out.
And good morning, CKLN listeners. Check, check, check. Good morning. It is the 13th day of July 2010. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening morning news show here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. And here on today's show, just like to shout out Dr. Henry Macko. From yesterday's interview, I do now host Monday's Word of Mouth news show, 7 to 8 p.m. every Monday, and I'm joining other colleagues throughout the week, as well as the 4 days here in the morning. So I'm practically doing this full time. Got to scrape together a shiny nickel somehow for doing this stuff. Not that I'm complaining, except for the fact that we need them to operate in our culture. But I also know that, you know, if you start taking money from people for what you do, which I've done before and which I hope to do again, then it makes it difficult because they're associated with you. And so, you know, if somebody gives me, say, hey, man, I love your radio show, I'll give you like $5 a month like a bunch of other people do and yada, yada, yada. And then. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man. This is bringing me up to a decent amount, like Alan Watt at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com does, take some donations from people and so on. But especially knowing how we operate here in Toronto and just how scared of social disapproval we are, you know, which makes us in many ways more lonely than we need to be because we're just more careful than we need to be. We don't express ourselves as freely and so on. You know, now this isn't everybody. These are just memes. These are just things to roto-root out of our culture, if possible. Some of the insecurities that that this city and this country to some extent represent in ways that people from, say, Quebec, totally different country with their French-Canadian money. But no, they're a unique culture. They asked to be called it. And if you go there, you're like, yeah, you guys are unique. You guys are distinct. No problem. You know, I get it. They have a certain confidence about the way they move. You know, used to talk, and I got to finish the point that I was making on me. All right, so if I take money and I start saying F a protest, and you know, protests are stupid, and this day of action thing is really a day where you spooks get a bunch of dupes to listen to you, you know, give, you know, the same speech you always give with a couple of new updated mainstream numbers or facts or figures. And then everybody goes home and they feel like, you know, that was the least they could do, was to show up to that. And that the least they could do was going to get them, you know, well, probably get them the least it gets them, actually. And this is nothing personal against all the people out there and how protests have been around for. I'm just sick of this crap. I can't stand this nonsense. Like, you know, if you had shoelaces and I see them there on your feet and you're walking around, and you're stumbling and tripping all over the place, and I'm like, hey, dude, you know, you could tie those strings in your shoes together, and they keep your shoes from falling off. Then I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to, no, this is the way we do it. We walk around like this. The laces are purely decorative. The ends get a little frayed and ugly after a while because we step on them all the time. But then we throw out the shoes and we buy, you know, new ones. It's just like, just lace them up for God's sakes. So anyway, so that's on me in terms of that. I'm not complaining. I'm just I'm trying to break down because what is complain? I never complain. I just explain what things are. You know, if I come in to the coffee shop and I go, I'm cold, you know, or I'm tired, and someone goes, oh, I'm sorry. It's like, don't worry about it. certainly don't mess up your day because of that. I wasn't complaining. I was merely stating a fact, and then trying to think about, you know, how to make peace with that fact. and how to figure that fact out, and how to make sure that if it e what it e, and sometimes it just e what it e, then how can I make sure I'm cool with it, and so on. So that's on me, and that's on being able to say whatever I want to, trying to, you know, just make the point that the lies are going to screw us, and the truth shall set us free. Not that this is my thing. just recycling some good ideas that that our culture, run by the New World Order, interlocking power system, multipolar oligarchy of, you know, Anglo-American establishment and allies worldwide, you know, in Japan through the Trilateral Commission, and Saudi Arabia, Bin Laden family, and so on, and all over the world with the billionaires that only became billionaires because they were cool with, you know, how the existing wealthy people ran the world, the New World Order, as it were. So in that construct, I was going through myself and then going through other people at insecurities. Shout out to Dr. Henry Mackle last night. Did an interview with him about feminism and about relationships and about who gives us the major ideas promoted in our culture. And through the course of that hour-long interview, which you can download an MP3 of, go to radio in the number 4all.net, radio4all.net. Type CKLN into the search engine, and you'll find my stuff as well as stuff put up by fellow programmers here at CKLN. But Dr. Mackle and I were talking about how men used to be, like, you'd fight for something. You know, if a guy's fighting for something, then he's fighting. You know, if he's just fighting, he's just fighting, and you'll get some guys tanking the odd UFC match or whatever. But if he's fighting for his family, you know, or his woman, or his you know, city, state, country, as he defines it, or if he's playing in a sports championship and he feels like he's doing it for his home team, you know, dudes would go pretty hard. but left to our own devices, no. We wouldn't be in the shape to wear skinny jeans and skinny shirts and skinny hats and skinny shoes. You know, we wouldn't care. You know, we wouldn't care. And you know, we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't be as attentive to details with respect to ourselves and our appearance and our manner. And on that note, I'd like to. Jeez. This thing is acting really strange today. Computer is acting a little strange. Basically, magical internet stuff's acting weird. I can't figure out why. And all right, let's go to the cache. There we go. Okay, so start off the show by saying, got to be able to say whatever I want, because at the end of the day, I think that, well, if it's right, it's right. And if it's not right, then you know, you shouldn't just cry. Explain it to me so I know, so I don't screw up. I don't want to say stupid things, so if any of this stuff is stupid, please give me a call, send me an email, blackkrishna@gmail.com, and break it down for me. But all right, so that's me and saying whatever. And then there goes to our insecurities and how people, you know, French-Canadian girls will kind of look at you and go, you know, what? What do you want? And you're like, you know, if you want to talk to them, you know, if you find them attractive or appealing, a lot of them will just go, what? What do you want? You know, not like that, in a much more sexy French-Canadian sweet way. But they basically say, you want me to buy me a drink? You want to ask me a question? You want to ask for the time? You want to, what the hell do you want? You know, they're not immediately put off by that, especially in a normal social environment. Not that all Toronto girls are, but you know, certainly some confidence in the French people. In Montreal, used to talk about this years ago with people when we talked more, and wanted to say more interesting things. where in Montreal, people would be like, I am from Montreal, or I am a Quebecer. I am from Quebec, or I am from Montreal. And in Toronto, it's like, yeah, I'm from Toronto, but I'm doing this, and I'm taking classes for this, and I'm trying to get a job doing this, and people try and sell their resumes. And here, people used to ask more about how much people made, or how much their apartment or condo cost, or how much they're paying for rent. And in Montreal, from what I've heard, those questions are all not seen as polite. And there's a number of good reasons to avoid, you know, these type of conversations, is because they situate yourself within and against the metrics you're given. You know, so if I say my apartment costs $500 a month, and then your apartment costs $1,200 a month. Well, if I find that out, then clearly we're on different terms, and that may affect how I look at you, and I may actually genuflect to you more in that sense. But speaking of genuflecting, how do we get this back? You know, how do we remuster some confidence? Well, it could be coming for going for ours. The problem is that's a fairly lonely experience. and even if you got people, supporting you, if they know you're going for yours, you can't even be sure if you trust that support because they know that you're not going for theirs. But if you go for theirs, whether they love you or hate you, whether they whatever, your conscience is cleaner. And if it's enough of a theirs, then some of them will get it. And then your confidence is back because not only could you go for theirs, but you could say you're doing it and you could actually try and do it and you actually get them something. and then boom, instant Lipton cup of validation. So in the same way that many beautiful women today, get their validation from their appearance and being looked at. You know, and I know from my own experiences that, I try not to look at girls too much. I got other things in my mind these days. Oh, I'm still really, really happy that this city has the most beautiful women in the world. Wouldn't change that for a second. But I'm pretty conservative about it. And I'll find this girl just looking at me like, what? Why didn't you stare at me? Especially young ones. Older ones, they ain't tripping. They know what's going on. They know what the deal is. They're like, oh, he's just being nice. It's good to have some of that around. But the younger ones be like, what? Why didn't you look at me? Look at me. Validate my identity. Validate my how hot I am. That's all right. I'll look at them. And then they get all shy and go, ah. And they wander off. And they look away. But they want that interaction. And that's how we've been socialized. So for worse and for worse, it is what it is. But we can mitigate that. And so I'm going to an article here from Dr. Henry Macko, HENRY MAKOW, PhD at henrymacko.com, henrymakow.com, where you'll find a wide variety of articles and a wide variety of subjects. But his stuff on gender relations and the people behind things like feminism and all the other social engineering, all the other big ideas in our culture, the New World Order, the Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie Foundations, and others, using their tax-exempt foundation money to control activism. I go on about this a lot because it dominates Toronto. And that's why we got half people here running for cancer and the other half getting it and not making the connection that running for, marathons put on by big drug companies and big banks isn't necessarily going to lead to a cure for cancer. But supporting information about cancer that's not revealed by the mass media, that's a way to get something done about cancer. But here it says, on this article, Power for Love, the Heterosexual Contract. Nothing against homosexuals. I got stuff for you guys. If a bunch of you guys want to shag, Marlon Brando from Streetcar Named Desire and you became gay to because you like guys, no problem. Man up and fight the New World Order. I know there's bigger and badder ass looking gay dudes out there that kick my butt in a heartbeat. So help save your fellow gay dudes and help save your country by manning up and fighting the New World Order. And if some of you want to be really effeminate, that's fine too. But my understanding of the gay thing is that you get into it because you like dudes. And so no problem. Be a dude who has sex with other dudes. At the same time, dudes up for doodly things to do and does their duty. So that's on a little snippet on gay culture as I understand it. And if I'm wrong, by all means, correct me. Last half of the show, after a few minutes, we're going to take calls if there are any coming in. But there's The Power for Love, The Heterosexual Contract from the book Cruel Hoax, Feminism and the New World Order from Dr. Henry Macko. And again, nothing against women, nothing against men. An analysis of the ideas in our culture and where they're from. Because you might think, red and white backpack with a cross is really dope. Till you find out it's from the Ku Klux Klan. You're like, ah, crap. I don't want to wear that anymore. And so when you find out a lot of these things from the New World Order, you either don't want to wear it anymore or you may want to change, how you wear it or how it's wearing on you. So again, Power for Love, The Heterosexual Contract from the book Cruel Hoax, Feminism in the New World Order. This is from cruelhoax.ca. And this is a little snippet, a little Machoian snippet on this. The gesture of a man opening a door for a woman illustrates how men and women relate. We all know that a woman can open a door herself, but when a man does it, he is affirming her femininity, beauty, and charm. When she graciously accepts, she is validating his masculine power. This trade, a woman surrendering physical power in exchange for a man's protection, i.e. love, is the essence of heterosexuality. In order to develop emotionally, men and women need this mutual validation as much as sex itself. Sex is an expression of this exclusive contract. Under the toxic influence of feminism, women open their own doors. Neither sexual identity is validated. Neither sex matures emotionally. Men feel redundant and impotent. Women feel rejected and unloved. And here we are. In the 20th century. On that note, I'm going to let you meditate on that and take you over to Mr. Alan Watt from the 9th of July, 2010 to break down our socialization. But I'm going to come back to this.
What they wanted, too, was a scientifically organized society and technocracy. Wells was on about it. Russell was on about it. Upon through the Unabomber and that video, The Net, and the reason all that was going on and why he targeted certain people, he said that technocracy really had horrific plans for humankind, population reduction, all that kind of stuff. And he even went through what they would... And he went to Harvard. He's a professor at Harvard. He knew some of these guys who'd been authorized by the military. They're all ex-military guys above him, authorized to bring in a new culture to prepare the way for this new system. They gave you the rock music. They gave you the drug culture. And they pushed free sex to destroy marriage. They had to get marriage out of the way. That was a must. And they talk about that in a lot of their different books. All the different parts of academia go into that. Well, Bertrand Russell in the Scientific Outlook said this. He says, the man who dreams of a scientifically organized world and wishes to translate his dreams into practice finds himself faced with many obstacles. There is the opposition of inertia and habit. See, people don't like change. We are quite content without change. Look at the people they call primitives, the ones they call arrested developments, who are really... survivalists. They don't need the world. They don't need what man makes in commerce. They make everything themselves. They will get up and fight you if you try and take over the land and change them. They're natural. They're wild men. We're supposed to be wild for survival's sake. When we don't do that, we've been domesticated and conquered. Anyway, this book here says, there is the opposition of inertia and habit. People wish to continue behaving as they always have behaved and living as they always have lived. This is the opposition of vested interest. It says, in an economic system inherited from feudal times, it gives advantages to men who have done nothing to deserve them, and these men, being rich and powerful, are able to place formidable obstacles in the way of fundamental change. In addition to these forces, there are also hostile idealisms. Christian ethics is in certain fundamental respects opposed to the scientific ethic, which is gradually growing up. Christianity emphasizes the importance of the individual's soul and is not prepared to sanction the sacrifice of an innocent man for the sake of some ulterior good to the majority. Christianity, in a word, is unpolitical, as is natural since it grew up amongst men devoid of political power. The new ethic, which is gradually growing in connection with scientific technique, will have its eye upon society rather than upon the individual. It will have little use for the superstition of guilt and punishment, but will be prepared to make individuals suffer for the public good. Individuals will suffer for the public good. And who decides what the public good is, eh? Without inventing reasons purporting to show that they deserve to suffer. They'll just pick on you, and that's what we see all the time in the media, people getting picked on, tasered, burned faces, that kind of stuff. In this sense, it will be ruthless. A scientific dictatorship will be ruthless. And according to tradition, ideas are moral, but the change will have come about naturally through the habits of viewing society as a whole. rather than as a collection of individuals. So the whole idea is we're all in it together. We're not individuals anymore. We're all this or we're all that. But regardless, we're all, and that's the key to it, the eradication of the individual. We view a human body as a whole, and if, for example, it is necessary to amputate a limb, we do not consider it necessary to prove first that the limb is wicked. We consider the good of the whole body a quite sufficient argument. Well, that was what the Soviets did. When they got into power, the Bolsheviks, they slaughtered whole sections of society. Didn't give a reason for it. They knew what they were doing it for, but they didn't have to even bother giving a reason for it. And that's what he means. The scientific dictatorship won't bother telling you why they're doing nasty things to you. He says, similar to the man who thinks of society as a whole will sacrifice a member of society for the good of the whole, without much consideration for that individual's welfare. This has always been the practice in war, because war is a collective enterprise. Soldiers are exposed to the risk of death for the public good, although no one suggests that they deserve death. But men have not hitherto attached the same importance to social purposes other than war, and have therefore shrunk from inflicting sacrifices which were felt to be unjust. I think it is probable that the scientific idealists of the future will be free from this scruple. They won't have moral scruples, you see. Not only in time of war, but in time of peace also, like injecting general public without telling them to give them cancers and to shorten their life and to sterilize them. See, they're already doing it back then. And overcoming the difficulties of the opposition that they will encounter, they will find themselves organized into an oligarchy of opinions, such as formed by the Communist Party in the USSR. So they admit they were going to use that kind of system, you see, which is here, actually. But the reader will say, how is it that all this will come about? Is it not merely a fantasy of wish fulfillment, utterly remote from political purpose? I do not think so. The future which I foresee is, to begin with, only very partially in agreement with my own wishes. I find pleasure in splendid individuals rather than powerful organizations, and I feel that the place for splendid individuals will be much more restricted in the future than in the past. He's talking about an intellectual elite only for those special individuals that he's talking about, himself obviously being one of them. And remember, he's the guy who works along with the group that formed Wired magazine, the Macy Group. He worked with the authorized Frankfurt School to bring in a new system for a new culture for society, obedience and so on, all in it together. He also helped work out the language of mathematics for computer systems, the perfect language, he called it. Now, and the impact of the science on society says this: the good of a multitude is a sum of the goods of the individuals composing it, not a new and separate good. In concrete fact, when it is pretended that the state has a good different from that of the citizen, what is really meant is that the good of the government or of the ruling class is more important than that of other people. Such a view can have no basis except an arbitrary power. More important than these metaphysical speculations is a question whether a scientific dictatorship such as we have been considering can be stable, or is it more likely to be stable than a democracy? Apart from the danger of war, I see no reason why such a regime should be unstable. After all, most civilized and semi-civilized countries known to history have had a large class of slaves or serfs completely subordinate to their owners. There is nothing in human nature that makes it the persistence of such a system impossible. This is just a new feudal system. Remember what Plato said too. Plato said that whatever's been done to the public in the past, or to peoples in the past, if you know the formula, you can reintroduce it and it'll work just the same again. So he says, and the whole development of scientific technique has made it easier than it is used to be to maintain a despotic rule of a minority. When the government controls the distribution of food, its power is absolute. That's very important. And that's why they're going for it. And pretty well got it all summed up there. The government with its five agribusinesses are running the world's food supply. So their power is absolute, so long as it can count on the police and the armed forces. Well, he knew too. He always makes sure that you give the police and the armed forces certain perks and privileges.
Check, CKLN listeners. Yeah. Hopefully you can hear me. It's 6:32 a.m. I've been informed that periodically. No sound is coming out, so if this sound is coming out there, I apologize. This is the most important stuff to beat the New World Order. There have been police state drills for decades. But if we can relate to each other better and understand why we don't, then, you know, we win. So, you know, hopefully I'm on the air when I get back. But until then, please do enjoy the rest of the WOD clip if you are catching this. My apologies for any issues with the broadcast that I'm unable to control. Thanks.
You're going to see in the next page, for these reasons, I do not believe that the dictatorship is a lasting form of scientific society. Unless this proviso is important, it can become worldwide. Their goal was always to have a worldwide scientific society. And once it's in power with incredible sciences, weaponry, the techniques of mind control over the general populace, the techniques of mass manipulation, they foresaw no reason why they should not, once in power, with a new governing system, they would ever lose it, or should lose it. Why do you think they've got this total information network today? What do you think all that was part of? It was nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. It's to make sure that the society is predictable. Every one of us must be completely predictable. And that's why your daily data that you spread all over the internet and through emails and so on, and that you chat on phones to your friends, has all been monitored, collected, sorted automatically by supercomputers to keep updated your personal profile, to make sure that you haven't gone a bit odd, a bit strange, and outside your patterns of thinking and behavior, or change your social milieu into an unauthorized sector. That's what it's all about. The world of totalitarianism is here. We've been living through it growing up our whole lives. I've read so many articles here over the years to do with their super weaponry and stuff beyond their sound cannons to microwave energy, all for use at home and at the right time, right down to the army itself's own think tank, a specialized think tank which foresees the future, predicts by trends how things are going to go. Talking about 30 years of rioting across the world. And we've watched them put their drones up. Now they're putting drones up all over the skies in Canada and the States. I've even got photographs of them here. And we can't think that this is all to do with what Russell's talking about here. These drones will be used in the US and Canada. There is no doubt about it. I've read the articles too with the much smaller drones that they have. Billions are putting into them. Things pretty small, the size of birds, but they can target you as an individual and kill you. Whoever you happen to be. That's why they're saying that the scientific dictatorship cannot possibly fail. The problem, as the communists were well aware of any revolution, is it takes years and years and years to plan and work and organize to get people ready so that instead of having an aimless rabble at the end of something when the big boys let you have it, what I mean by that is they bring the hammer down on you. You know, all know what you've got to do. An organization is utterly important, and that's all the only things they're afraid of at the top. It's massive organization, especially if organization can get public sympathy and public support and start to get sway with the public that overrides their general daily incredible propaganda. Because if something did arise like that, they'd be targeted right away. They'd be called every dirty name and slogan in the book. Because they could not allow them to gather members. And they won't tolerate it. And it's interesting what Russell said too, that they won't explain to the other members of society, that's you lot and us lot and we lot, why they're doing something, why they're being ruthless to a specific crew, an area, or people, or whatever. They'll just do it. See, they're beyond the stage of giving us excuses anymore. That's part of the training, and you get trained not to expect excuses along the way. That's what it's about. You know, I could go through 100 different articles put up by the media every day, and it's more distracting to your mind than helping to form concrete ideas about things. You've got everything from incredible trivia for different classes of people, and yep, there are classes of people. And you have little bits of truth put into other things like the oil disaster in the Gulf, little bits of it here and there. Hundreds of articles on it, of course. This is all to keep you distracted as well, because you'll never get the real truth about anything. And all this distraction stops you from keeping your mind on track with where the world is going, bypassing what's churned out by the media. It's churned out by the media, the authorized media.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. And Mr. Watt talked about how the media churns out crap for us to digest, to warp our thinking. And the number here at the station for CKLN's Rude Awakening and every other show in the studio is 416-595-1655. I don't take enough calls from you listeners. I apologize. As you can tell, I have a lot to say. But if you have anything to say and you want to share it with the world, or the world that I get to reach here, privileged to be a broadcaster on CKLN, then by all means, call in 416-595-1655. I did receive a couple of phone calls from a very nice caller, a listener to the show. So thank you so much, caller, for your information. I did receive the fact that the broadcast was blacked out for like 3 minutes during the Alan Watt clip or something like that, and then popped back in. And I can't explain this. I've talked to a couple of other listeners who've mentioned this happens, and yet I listen to the MP3. Of each show after I finish it, and none of the MP3s blacked out from our logger file. So, in a nutshell, we have to record 24/7 what we broadcast as part of CRTC regulations. So, no problem. We've got a logger that does that. It logs 24 hours a day, and then a few of us programmers here pull our shows from those files and then, you know, post them or whatever. And so, I post mine. You go to radio4all.net or archive.org or blackkrishna.blogspot.com to find links to where you can download the shows. And on those files, there's never anything missing. It's the show straight through. So near as I can tell, or near as I can guess, there may be some sort of jamming thing, you know, some sort of white noise machine that they just shoot at the damn show every once in a while to black out a few minutes of it. For instance, I don't even know if I'm on the air now. I've got little meters here, kind of like a speedometer, an old style speedometer with a needle that goes left to right. And I can see on both the left channel and the right channel that I'm fine. At least here in the studio, the levels are fine, music levels are fine, my voice levels are fine. But I can't tell what you folks are hearing, and because things are working internally okay here, I'm guessing somebody's trying to stop you folks out there from getting the show. And they got to do it in subtle ways. The New World Order, if this is in fact them, have to make sure that there's plausible deniability. Oh, it could have been anything. Could have been the weather. Could have been a technical glitch. Could have been blah, 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 blah. So they can't, you know, do it, you know, totally overboard. They can't G20 style pull up in a van and just haul me out of the studio and throw me in the back in the middle of my show. Because that would be a little revealing. But they can certainly, you know, block out parts of it, especially the parts that reveal how we can relate to each other better. Because that's the key. I was listening to the Alex Jones show from yesterday this morning on the walk up here from Dufferin and Dundas to our broadcast studios here in Toronto, Canada at Ryerson University, at CKLN Radio in the Student Center at Church and Gould, near the corner of Yonge and Dundas. And so I'm walking up Dundas and listening to the Jones Show. And Jones is talking about martial law drills taking place throughout America. And he's talking about how, you know, there are foreign troops from other countries there being trained to take Americans' guns. Because Americans are a little touchy about that subject. And a lot of American troops, you know, are pro-gun. And they don't want to do it. They did it during Hurricane Katrina. They went to people's houses who weren't even affected by the hurricane. They were on high and dry land. And, they trussed up the owners of those expensive homes like chickens, took their guns, and, it was just insane. So, hey, the bottom line is in every other situation, soldiers and troops and cops and whoever do what they're ordered to, even if it's horrible, in fascist systems. So we got to make sure that in our fascist system, the worst doesn't happen. He's been talking about that. You know, he referenced it himself. He says, I was shooting urban warfare drills, you know, for years. It was in my film Police State 2000, which he made in like 99. So more information about these subjects without any sort of prioritization, targeting, action, deeper understanding, just acclimates us with respect to what we accept. And I don't know who's working for what or what's happening where or what's going on. I just know I do my thing and I try and take the best information I can from people out there who can provide it. But, you know, I got to say that the most important thing for us right now is to figure out what the hell to do about this whole New World Order problem thingy situation. Because right now I'm here on Infowars.com. And here's the articles. Depopulation fanatics, eugenicists launch objective global population study. And this is the Royal Society. Like the fact the Queen's in town, she wants to kill you. So, don't like it too much. And get hip to what her and her family have been up to as part of the British Empire for the last 500 years, why she's still known as the Queen, and why she's on half the money in the world, and why we're all supposed to go broke thanks to the control of arms of the British Empire and their their propaganda and subversion and think tank and enforcement arms, including Chatham House, Rose Institute for National Affairs in UK, which birthed think tanks like the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations in New York, Council of Canadian Chief Executives here in Canada, and others worldwide that basically all work to create a one-world government, global, neo-feudalist, neo-communist, Chinese-style system with maximum repression, authoritarian censorship for any dissent against the system. So, you know, then the system's safe, and then the bad guys can go, finally, the sheeps are too dumb and scared to rebel. And they can relax and they can screw us and kill us. That's one article. They're trying to normalize the idea of overpopulation and we got too many people and we don't have enough resources, so we got to limit the population. Even though the whole population is 6.8 billion people on planet Earth, can fit comfortably with an acre each, not even per family, but an acre each, in the country or continent of Australia. So I invite you, just like I did, because I heard it, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. And it came from a decent source, so I didn't check it for a bit. But then one day I thought, all right, you know what? Before I start parroting this like a little anti-fascist parrot, let me do some math here. And I did the math, and it works out. So, yeah, absolutely. So that's one article on depopulation. Another article, American Idolatry Intensifies as nation sinks into depression, and so on. So that's what they want to do. They want to. This happened in the 1970s under President Jimmy Carter. It was known as the Carter malaise. Malaise meaning maladjusted haze, and people were in the 70s when a recession hit and austerity was called for. They always do this under left-wing presidents, and then under right-wing ones, they blow stuff up more. But the left will steal everything you have and say it's for charity. And because you don't know any better, you might believe him. And or if you know any better and other people don't, well, you're going to lose your stuff anyway. So so it is what it is. And so during the Carter malaise in the 70s, and Webster Griffin Tarpley, Webster Tarpley at TARPLEY.net, Tarpley.net, one of the finest minds in the fighting financial oligarchs, a.k.a. the New World Order universe, which we happen to live in, so we should pay attention to that guy. You know, he's outlined this in comparing President Obama to President Carter, especially since they both have the same main globalist top technocrat handler in Zbigniew or Zbigniew Brzezinski. He said that during the 70s, I got a call coming in. All right, during the 70s, and I'm going to take this call. Give me one sec. All right, caller, you're on air, but let me just finish this thought. In the 1970s, they encouraged people to try and deal with the recession by ignoring it and keeping it happy. And if you brought it up, then you were seen as depressing or a spoil sport, and things are tough enough as it is, and that just allowed things to get worse. So that's what they're trying to recycle today. But enough of me. Caller, what's on your mind?
Hi, BK. It's working better now.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in and letting me know. Appreciate that. Any other thoughts on your head today?
Yeah, I can't believe how many times I saw a stupid octopus choose the winner of the World Cup.
An octopus as a... they were throwing octopi or something?
No, they put some pair of flags down the bottom of some kind of aquarium, and then they send an octopus to go choose the winner. And every news station showed it.
Wow.
Bit of a waste of time, I think, ABK.
I tend to agree, sir. We all grew up here. And based on what's happening today, based on the fact that there are kids around us being murdered on a daily basis and stolen by, you know, satanic pedophile cults who run the world, we shouldn't be doing anything but stopping that. But as long as we allow for a world where fun exists and where we've gotten used to enjoying it, I can see what's happening and I can see why people, you know, go for things. So I'm sympathetic, but objectively, caller, 100% agreed, total crap. You want to watch the game, fine. You want to send octopi to randomly choose flags? It's a joke. Any other observations from the World Cup? I didn't observe enough of it. I barely knew. Congratulations to Spain, because I was in the annex when they won, and a whole bunch of Spanish people went nuts, and I was happy for them, because it's, you know, when a bunch of people from their country are celebrating one of their country's accomplishments as they perceive it, then, you know, hey, what are you going to do? You know, I'm not going to walk around slapping them in the face. But your thoughts on the World Cup or anything else?
Well, just all those people that jumped on top of the streetcar. Did you see that shot?
I didn't know. No, sorry. I got to pay attention to more of these things. But what happened?
I don't know. There's about 30 or 40 people stood on top of a streetcar, and the head cop, he was giggling about it. They didn't bring out the nightsticks for those people.
Yeah, no. And when the Jays won the World Series back in 92 and 93, there was pandemonium in the streets. And I know that I take control over personal space every once in a while. I'd be chilling on a Now magazine box, having a smoke, and collecting my thoughts, and just doing it for a few minutes here and there. So, yeah, it's excessive. Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, if they weren't threatening anybody else and they were taking their own risks, I saw girls hanging out, you know, sitting on car windows, you know, and guys for that matter, after Spain won and driving around. And I guess... I've been to Europe, and I've been to other countries where, you know, they're not as paranoid about people just doing their thing in public, even if it's a little goofy. And I've been to Kensington Market, you know, where there's, you know, weird, you know, statues and mannequins and things on people, and houses are painted weird, different colors, and nobody's like, "You're ruining my property values, damn you," you know. And so I'm more in favor of letting that sort of thing go than I am in cracking down on it. But it is interesting how, you know, it is selective enforcement.
Yes. And one last thing, BK.
Please.
You better watch out for that Daniel Libby guy. You know why? I heard he's in touch with your your nemesis, Greg Duffel. You send regular emails to him, so you better watch behind your back about that guy.
Well, you know what? I thank you so much for your time, Kyle. I appreciate that. Look, I Daniel and I are good friends. So I don't even know what that's about. And until I hear different from Daniel, then I'm just not going to worry about it. And as for Greg Duffel, he doesn't scare me. None of those people scare. Nothing scares me. And I've met him, and he's a prick. And I'll leave it at that, because why spend more time on that? But any other calls from any other callers, the number here is 416-595-1655. Back to the article here. I'm going to talk about American idolatry intensifies as nation sinks into depression. And programmed zombies get hysterical about basketball while their future is being destroyed. This is by Paul Joseph Watson. Basically, he's doing a follow-up to the Alex Jones video, which went viral. And in just a few days, it got 350,000 views and still going strong. And it's an excellent rant. Played it on yesterday's show here on Rude Awakening, where he said, you know, while America is destroyed, the media is getting us all to wonder about, you know, where LeBron James is going. Turns out he said, screw you, Cleveland, and went to Miami. You know, for good or bad reasons, I can see, you know, him saying, you know, I spent 7 years here in my entire life, and I really would like to do stuff somewhere else, not just travel, but maybe whatever, stake my own claim there and play with two other great players. So I could see why he'd do that. The way he did it is, of course, what the media is picking on, especially that huge press conference where the only happy ending would have been for him to say he's signing with Cleveland again. Anything else would have been, why'd you make us all get together and pay attention? But Jones did talk about how Governor Strickland of Ohio was part of a "We love you, LeBron, we want you to stay, we are the world" type parody. And how disgusting that was, that our politicians are begging professional athletes to give their cities an identity and happiness instead of just doing their damn jobs and facilitating conditions that provide the same. So let's go to the article by Paul Joseph Watson from Monday, July 12th. The sight of American citizens gallying to protest basketball player LeBron James' decision to join Miami Heat last week after Ohio Governor Ted Strickland joined celebrity serenade James in a bizarre appeal video entitled "We Are LeBron" was a shocking reminder of how millions of Americans are more concerned about sports teams and the fact that their country is collapsing around them, and how potent a threat such wanton delusion is to the survival of freedom and prosperity in the United States. In a YouTube clip that went viral after appearing on the Drudge Report website, Alex Jones explained how ominous it was to see Americans transfixed by bread and circuses. That's an ancient Latin Roman expression coined by the poet Juvenal. While at the same time, the New York Times reports on how the country is sinking into another depression. That's right. The New York Times has an article where one of the financial experts that they'll cite, so, you know, mainstream, but they were going for wacky in this article, and they were going for, you know, they got different things in their agenda. And it depends on the reporter. There's some good reporters here and there. I saw a reporter expose how the CIA was controlling our culture. Nathan Glazer, in an article from 2008. Referencing an article from another magazine in an online New York Times blog that talked about the CIA infiltrated and manipulated cultures in North America and worldwide, including running MK Ultra experiments at McGill University in Montreal with Dr. Ewan Cameron. So definitely keep an eye out for the new CAMH mental health concentration camp going up at Queen and Ossington in the city. 27 acres of madness. And they overbuild these things because they expect to drive us nuts and then shove us in there, or get us all at least to the idea of using those services and trusting their judgments, when in fact the history of psychiatry is a deadly one, and its control by Big Pharma is one that we got to mitigate. So, you know, back here to the article. This expert from the New York Times, who was cited, said that this could be the worst depression in 300 years. and we're on the verge of it. And after they said we were in a depression and recession, rather, and got us used to it, and then said we were in a recovery and said we might be okay and got us all fantasizing. And I talked to people. They said, oh, yeah, I'm sure we'll come out of it soon. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it'll rebound. Oh, things go up and down. You know, they acted like, you know, next week everything will be fine. And they didn't understand the systemic attack on the financial system. It's their financial system. It's their toy. for, you know, for us to play with if we get to benefit, or for us to be punished by if, you know, we are, well, the entire world really, but certain parts of the world get worse of that than others. But you know, they are breaking it, and for those of us who know how, it's shocking and staggering to see people desperately cling to fantasies. You know, and they call me a conspiracy theorist. When you make up how everything's going to be okay, you're a conspiracy theorist. Not me. I actually look at the facts. I cross-reference articles. I try and find consistent sources of information that don't lie to me. Instead of saying, I don't trust that crap, I stick to the mainstream media and then I just guess. which is what a lot of people do. So you know, it is what it is. But back to this article. How did we reach a stage where scenes from Idiocracy, a satirical movie set 500 years in the future where humanity has, quote, degenerated into a dystopia where advertising, commercialism, and cultural anti-intellectualism run rampant and dysgenic pressure has resulted in a uniformly stupid human society devoid of individual responsibility or consequences, unquote, seem eerily contemporary in 2010? And yeah, you got to watch the Mike Judge film Idiocracy. It was bought by Fox Films. And then they buried it. They sat on it for a year. They changed the release dates. They screwed the creator, Mike Judge, who created Beavis and Butthead. And they paid him. They paid everybody. But they basically paid him to shelve it. And when it was finally released, a big Mike Judge movie, you know, it was released on like 12 screens throughout America. And they tried to bury it because it really does. It was just too close to home with respect to, you know, where we might be going. If we don't decide to change the direction that we're heading in. Americans are watching more television than before, and as InfoWars does, there's a highlighted link to where you can verify this. Both through conventional TV sets on the web, and as a range of channels continues to expand, the screens get bigger, quality of the picture increases, and new high-D 3D technologies arrest and shorten our attention spans to a greater and greater degree. And the chat, and the text, and the Facebook, and now we don't want to say interesting things. We don't want to have the patience for it. And we think that long emails or long conversations, and we think all that's bad. And yet, if you got problems and you try and explain to somebody, you're screwed. If nobody can listen to you, if they're complex, you're screwed. And if you can't explain them, then you're going to be like a baby that can't explain, you know, what's happening. They just cry because they lack the ability to articulate their thoughts. And that's what's happening. But I digest, folks. Just a couple minutes left here on the show. Got Mr. Colin Smith coming up next with One Flight Up. So definitely going to hand it over to him. Predictive programming in movies.blogspot.com is another website that I found recently. And predictive programming is how they've done this. You can see the poster for the Leonardo DiCaprio movie Inception hanging off the Eaton Center right now at Young and Dundas. And it says the scene of the crime is in your mind. So how do you get your mind right on these issues? Well, I recommend music to help. I'm asking the different jazz programmers if there's any aggressive jazz fight music, because I'm followed by four jazz programmers after my Rude Awakening shows, and was told that there's new death jazz coming out of UK and Japan, aggressive jazz. And I think there's fight music, there's fight words, there's fight inspiration in any culture. Not trying to convert you. Don't even want you to become a conspiracy theorist or truth or whatever. Just whatever you got to do to take the world seriously and look into it more and trust that people who are ranting and raving about this stuff on a consistent basis and sharing information may have something worth looking into is something that would be wise to do at this time. So, you know, look to Martin Luther King, look to Confucius, look to the Tao, look to Gandhi, look to Jesus, look to Bob, look to any Bob, Marley, Dylan, whatever, you know, look to Eminem, I'm not afraid, you know, or, you know, so what's the deal, riders, as I played yesterday on yesterday's show, find something to get you in a more confident headspace. It's good, period, end, stop. It's good, period, to be in a more confident headspace. But the side benefit is that you'll also be in a better headspace to handle what's going on. So, you know, on that note, I'm out of here, folks. Couple of websites to shout out. Infowars.com, great place to check out what's happening and figure out what's going on. Great articles like the one you just saw from Paul Joseph Watson. Infowars.com, naturalnews.com. Pass it on now. tons of ways our health's being attacked. And when our health's being attacked, nothing else matters but getting that back. So naturalnews.com, trendsresearch.com, internationalforecaster.com for great wealth news, cuttingthroughthematrix.com for Alan Watts' amazing work. Let's see here, vigilantcitizen.com for how our celebrity culture is controlled. And a whole bunch more out there. Just look for the info. Pass it on. And pass on the movie Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. It takes us to the last 200 years of history and why, you know, there's so many risks and threats to us and why we ignore them because of this eugenics elite. So it breaks all that down because this is beyond being interesting. A lot of times we find political scandal just titillating. And there's some on the Star today about a general who just got caught for having an affair. So they're not throwing people in jail for killing Afghanistan. They're throwing people in jail for having affairs in the military. And that's the state of affairs that we're in. So locally in Toronto, you can go to pressfortruth.ca, pressfortruth.ca to find out more. HenryMAKOW.com to find out more. And TorontoTruthSeekers.com. Going to be on the streets again this Saturday at Dundas Square, breaking down the game for their fellow Torontonians. ConspiracyCulture.com, great book and DVD store, Queen of Roncesvalles, where you can find out more of this information. Grab some DVDs, grab a burner, grab some blanks, burn copies, pass them on. Don't say nothing about it until they do. Because, you know, if they want to talk about it, they will. And you'll be the guy, because they know. They got it from you. And if they don't, they don't. But they'll respect your discipline on these issues. Finally, the Toronto Street News, amazing paper out there, sold by the homeless on the streets of Toronto. And so, break it down. Flip Matuni, get some information. Skip the aspartame, skip the MSG, and give a damn. The show's basically breaking down our confidence. One way to get confidence back is caring about other people, including the women in our culture, if you're a man, and respecting that they're in your protection zone when they're near you. And if anything happens, you're the guy who's expected to step up and make sure it doesn't happen to them. And so in general, giving them personal space and then having them value you for that ain't a bad way to get by. But that's enough for me. I'm out of here, folks. It's been the 13th of July, 2010. Have a great day. Peace out. I'm about whatever, man. Hope you are, too.
Shoes if it don't got a comma on the price tag, you know. I mean, but then again, who looks at the price tag, you know?
Oh yeah, we in this bitch. Oh yeah, we in this bitch. I'm about whatever, man. Fuck what they be talking about. Their opinion doesn't count. We the only thing that matters. Oh, so we do it how we do it. Face, man, I hate to put you through it. I be up all night, whole crew's in here. Cause I don't really know who I'ma lose this year. Oh, man, I love my team, man, I love my team. I would die for them. I'm about whatever, man. Fuck what they be talking about. Their opinion doesn't count. We the only thing that matters. Oh, so we do it how we do it. All up in the face, man, I hate to put you through it. I be up all night, whole crew's in here.